Let's see. Own?
Yeah.
Own? Okay. Since this is Doodah Day, every day is Doodah Day, Lucian, stand up, brother. This young man over here has a birthday today, and we need to celebrate the fact that he's here in church. He's alive, so let's sing happy birthday. Ready? What, one, two, three? Okay. One, two, three. We love you, and we're glad you turned another year older, and just don't cut me off or anything, okay? All right, if you have your Bible, open them up to Ecclesiastes chapter 8, and you might go ahead and put your finger in Romans 13, because we're going to go there in just a second. But one of the things I want to talk to you about this morning that I think is at a critical point in our country, but also In the church, and the fact that we don't a lot of times address it, and it's this, authority. I think we live in a time right now where we can see there is a authority breakdown, and people have all kinds of reasons for why they are not going to respect authority, and we've seen the burning of towns, the robbing of stores, we see defund the police. We see all things. And you know, it's kind of strange. As I studied this passage, it just spoke to me about we need to, as the church, understand the whole concept of authority. Now, I don't know about you, but here's where I learned authority. His name was Bill Ashburn. It was my dad. And it was my mom, too. But folks, I when I look back at it, you would either say I was abused by the fact that my father would not let me disrespect authority, or you would say I had a great dad. I mean, it all depends on your perspective. But I can remember as a kid, I still have a hard time calling people that are older than me by their first name. I mean, I've called Bob Bob now, but every time I do it, I'm thinking my dad in the back of my mind saying, it's Mr. McCord, you know, and yet one of the things I've learned is that, I mean, I was taught, and this stuff isn't being taught a lot, I was taught to respect teachers from the time, it didn't matter if I was in grade school or in high school, I was to respect the authority that a teacher had in school. And if I didn't respect it, it was not a good situation. And I mean, always taught that. I was taught to respect a policeman. I was taught to respect an authority in the military. I was taught to respect other adults. And I was just the way I was raised, and I'm very grateful for that. And you know, it's a lost concept in our world today, and that's why I'm so concerned, and I'm so glad I can talk about it this morning, because I believe our country is experiencing an authority crisis. You see it in all ages. I mean, you see adults saying, I shouldn't have to pay taxes. Oh, really? What does the Bible say about that? I see people saying, well, I don't have to respect this law and that law. And you know, it's one of those things that very much concerns me. And I believe even in the church, you know, who's the authority of First Baptist Mount Ida? It better be Jesus. Who's the authority in your marriage? It better be Jesus. And when you remove authority, you have what I think is chaos. I get concerned by just people working. I was taught, because my dad had his own business, I was taught you were to do exactly what your boss told you to do. I was taught as a kid that you didn't just quit without notice. You always gave. If I ever quit and didn't give a 2-week notice, I would feel like my life is falling apart, because my dad ingrained that's the way you treat the people above you. And so I grew up. I grew up in Sunday school. There was none of this. You don't have to do this. Everybody else has to. No, everybody had to participate. There was no exemption from being a part of the group because there was authority. And when you lose authority, whether it's in your home, whether it's in your church, or whether it's in your nation, you have chaos. I looked up the definition of authority, and it's this. It is the power or right to give orders, make decisions, and enforce obedience. It's a person or organization having power or control in a particular political or administrative sphere. It could be a policeman, it could be a teacher, it could be a boss. We're all under authority. The definition of anarchy is this. It's a state of disorder due to the absent or non-recognition of authority. People, when we say we don't want police in our world, we're crazy. You have to have authority. Without authority, you have chaos. And it only gets worse with time. Because here's what, it's kind of like in the book of Judges, because it becomes a time where everybody does what is right in their own mind. You make the rules. And so one of the things we need to understand is that authority is not just a good thing, it's a God thing. Go first. We're going to begin in the New Testament. The New Testament is Romans chapter 13. It's the classic teaching about authority. Now, I understand why a lot of people have gone crazy and saying we don't want authority, because there's been abuse of authority. There's always been abuse of authority. I was talking with a friend the other day, and he talked about how hard it was to trust preachers because he had had bad preachers. Well, I'm sitting here thinking, I'm a preacher. I don't think I'm a bad person. But, you know, his name's Bob, and he's a guy that I've reconnected with from high school. He's been abused by some pastors, and I've seen it. But you don't give up on pastors just because they're not perfect, just like I don't give up on you because you're a church member and you're not perfect. We're all imperfect, right? Yeah, there are bad policemen, but you don't give up on all policemen because there's one or two or whatever the percent. You don't do that. You don't give up on your government because there are sorry people in the government. Wherever there's imperfect people, you got problems. So we need authority. But listen to what Paul wrote. Now, mind you, Romans 13 was written when Paul had as his president, if you want to call him a president, Nero. Nero was sorry. He was an absolute dictator. He was the fifth emperor of Rome. His most famous, what he is known for with Christians, is that he set Rome on fire and blamed it on the Christians, and that's when they started persecuting, killing, and getting rid of the Christians, because he said they were the one that started the fire. And so Paul lived in a time where you could say his president wasn't very good and his government wasn't very good. Nero was known for tyranny, extravagance, and debauchery. He was about as sorry and immoral as he could be. But listen to what Paul wrote in Romans 13:1. Everyone must submit to governing authorities. Is that hard to understand? The word submit means to put yourself under the command or the authority of someone else. He's writing and he's saying to these Christians, you're to submit to the governing authorities of Rome. The Caesars, the Roman army. Then he says, for all authority. Now get this. All authority comes from God. And those in positions of authority have been placed there by God. Now that's tough. God allowed Nero to be in charge. He goes on to say, so anyone who rebels against authority is rebelling against what God has instituted, and they will be punished. Now, let me give you a simple example. Let's just say, as I've done more than once and gotten in trouble for, driving between here and Hot Springs, I tend to go faster than 55, and unfortunately for me, twice I've been going, well, above some number, in a 45, because you know between here and Hot Springs, they've dropped down to 45 and Joplin, and everybody know what I'm talking about? Well, I've been blessed to have the same highway patrolman stop me twice. Same areas, basically. The first time, he asked me what my excuse was, and I said, well, Baylor and Oklahoma are playing, and it's the truth, and they're getting beat, and I'm just upset. And in the last couple months, maybe, he pulled me over again. He said, well, I pulled you over about a year ago about this time. And folks, he asked me if I had any reason to be speeding. I said, absolutely not. I just wasn't paying attention. And praise the Lord, twice he's letting me off. I mean, it may never I'm not counting on a third. And you know, here's the deal. It's like I couldn't find my insurance card. I was having a real problem. And I was like, I promise you I have insurance. I promise you. And he said, well, you put it in your car and you put it in. I got it in my car now. Now, it doesn't matter if I think they should have the speed limit as 45 in Joplin and those couple of areas. That's the law. And the honest truth is, because I broke the law, I deserved a ticket. I didn't ask to get out of it. I didn't lie. Why? Because that's the law. You got to have laws. Does everybody understand that? So anyway, there is punishment when you disobey the law. And I fortunately was blessed, and I'm not counting on three times the lady. I'm going to be sure not to have that. But anyway, so anyone who rebels against authority is rebelling against what God has instituted, and they will be punished. For the authorities do not strike fear in people who are doing right. Isn't that the truth? Most of the time, when you're doing right, you don't have to worry about getting in trouble, right? Most of the time, not all the time. Most of the time, the authorities, they don't have anything to worry about because he says, for the authorities do not strike fear in people who are doing right, but in those who are doing wrong. Would you like to live without the fear of authorities? Do what is right. It's pretty good. Just obey the law. You don't have to worry. Go 45. You don't have to worry about 46. You know, I asked a policeman one time, because, you know, we all want to cheat, don't we? I asked a policeman one time, can you give me a ticket for going 46? And he said, I could if I wanted to. You broke the law. He says, most of the time we don't. Because here's what happens to Bill. And y'all do it too. If the speed limit's 55, you go 60, right? Because you're in that 5 hour. If you go 75, it's 80. I know how we play a game. And just disregard Greg. He's not going to be out in the parking lot checking to see if you got all the other stuff. But there are rules for a reason. Do what is right, and they will honor you. The authorities are God's servants sent for doing your good. With no authority, with no structure for your government, if you go to a third world country, you find out how blessed we are to live here versus there, where you can't trust those in authority. It's a terrible thing. But if you are doing wrong, of course you should be afraid, for they have the power to punish you. They are God's servants sent for the very purpose of punishing those who do what is wrong. So you must submit to them, not only to avoid punishment, but also to keep a clear conscience. Pay your taxes too for these same reasons for government workers. How many government workers here this morning? You want us to pay our taxes, Pam and Shannon? Yeah, you sure do. They need to be paid. They are serving God in what they do. Give to everyone what you owe. Pay your taxes and government fees to those who collect them. And give respect and honor to those who are in authority. I just honestly believe, whether it's the police, whether it's a teacher, whether it's an adult, you're a kid or a teenager, you've got to have respect for authority. And it is a God thing. It's the way God takes care of us. It's the way that God provides safety. It's the way that God... You know, it doesn't matter if you think you have a better way to run the government. I used to think, I remember back in the day when I could only shoot one duck of a certain kind of duck. And I used to think that's the stupidest rule in the world. But you know what? Those ducks have come back at that period in history of where I was hunting. The duck population had gone down. And I just need to understand there are smarter people than me that understand to have ducks to hunt, you have to have a limit on how many you can kill. And deer too. So we got a lot of deer. But the thing I want you to see, whether you're a kid or a teenager or an adult, is that authority is a good thing and it's a God thing. And if you don't want authority, you want chaos. And it's just not biblical. And Paul said that. But then you get to Ecclesiastes chapter 8. And what Solomon is going to do here in chapter 8, he's going to say, a wise person respects authority and works within the structure to make the structure better. He begins by verse 1. It says, how wonderful to be wise, to analyze and interpret things. Wisdom lights up a person's face and softening its harshness. Look at verse 2. Obey the king, since you vowed to obey God that you would. Don't try to avoid your duty, and don't stand with those who plot evil, for the king can do whatever he wants. His command is backed by great power. No one can resist or question it. Those who obey him will not be punished. Those who are wise will find a time and a way to do what is right, for there is a time and a way for everything, even when a person is in trouble. Indeed, how can people avoid what they don't know is going to happen? None of us can hold back our spirit from departing. None of us has the power to prevent the day of our death. There is no escaping that obligation, that dark battle. And in the face of death, wickedness will certainly not rescue the wicked. So what is he saying? Well, he's saying, first of all, wise people understand authority. If you're smart, and when I'm talking about wise, I'm talking about godly wise. I'm talking about a person who reads the Bible, a person who evaluates things. Listen, wise, godly people understand authority. They understand that God is the ultimate authority. They understand that God sets up people in authority, like policemen, like our government. They understand that God has local authority. Wise people not only recognize that there is authority, they understand they can influence it. And we as believers in Jesus Christ are called to be wise and influence authority. I always tell people, if you don't like the authority in your community, get involved. Make a difference. And he says here, how wonderful to be wise, to analyze and interpret things. You see, wise people look at situations and they think through it. They try to understand it. We need to understand that wise people are people who are good citizens. They are people who influence their community for good. Wise people, when you see them coming, you don't get scared. You're glad to see them. I like what he says. Wisdom lights up a person's face. When you see a wise person coming, when you know a person is a good Christian, wise person, you know they're going to be fair. You know they're going to respect God. You know they're going to not have an anger personality problem. You know they're going to be the kind of person that you can approach. And quite frankly, we need more wise people. You're not wise because you have degrees. You're wise because your lifestyle reflects God. You spend time in God's Word and you make decisions. You think twice before you do that. I used to always tell them, don't get angry and just quit a job. Be wise. You may have an anger problem, but if you quit a job and you don't have another job, that's not wise. I tell people, you don't like your job, change your job, but But get another job before you quit. Be wise. Be one who looks. And what he is saying in verse 1 is that when you're wise, you'll obey the king and you'll influence him. And we need to understand that being wise means we understand the world we live in. We understand the times that are here. And 1 Chronicles 12:32, it says this, from the tribe of Issachar, there were 200 leaders of the tribe with their relatives. All these men understood the signs of the time and knew the best course for Israel to take. Listen, I think one of the problems with the church today is it hasn't been very wise. They don't understand. You can't do things the way you've always done it. We don't live in the same America you lived in 20 years ago. You've got to be wise. It's not the same. Go back and look at what used to be. But wise people, they know how to change things. They know how to understand things. And the Bible calls us to be wise. That's why on Wednesday nights, you know, here's just a little report. We've had the first two Wednesday nights, we've had 98 and 96, I think, is about the same number. We've had almost 100 people here. And it's a lot of work because we put the food out carefully. We had to have the kids, you know, in different areas. But you know, we've tried to be wise with it, but we've got to share the gospel. You can't put the gospel on hold. You just can't. So we have to try to be wise. And as we go forward as a church, we got to be like the men of Issachar. And we have to constantly be saying, how can we reach our community better? What are the needs of our community? It's all about wisdom. So he talks about that in verse 1. Be a wise person. But the second thing, wise people obey authority. It says, obey the king, since you vowed to God that you would. If you're an American citizen, what you basically have said is that you want to obey the rules of America. Right? We're not some other country. He says, obey the king since you vowed to do that. And then he says, don't try to avoid doing your duty. Another translation that I had says, be not hasty to go from his presence. Here's what he's saying. We're supposed to be involved in making things better, not getting mad and just avoiding the king because we don't like what he's doing. We need to stay in his presence. Wise people influence people. Even kings is what he's saying. He says, and don't stand with those who plot evil, for the king can do whatever he wants. Now here's a point of contention I've had with a lot of all this rebelling against authority thing. And I'll say it, and I'll say it, I've said it more than once. Just because you don't get your way, just because things don't go your way, politically, whatever, never, ever, ever do you have a right to destroy someone else's property or to hurt someone. Never. You just don't. You just don't have that. You just don't have that right. I have people say, well, this happened to me. I know that happened to you. I hate that happened to you. But that doesn't give you a right to go hurt somebody. Never ever does it give you a right to break the law just because you don't like what's going on. And listen, you may not like the new president, whoever it is, but under obligation to Scripture, you have to pray for him. Listen, there's been several I didn't care for. But you know what? I still paid my taxes. I still showed up. I still did my part. And by golly, I'll keep doing my part because that's what good citizens do. Wise people obey authority. I know that there are police for a reason. I understand I need to obey the police. You obey authority. Parents, don't ever believe your kid over a teacher. Now, I know there's some imperfect teachers out there, but the vast majority are perfect. You're teaching them. You can decide who you want to obey and who you don't want to. You got to have authority. Wise people understand authority and they function in their community. They function. You know, you don't like school system? Get on the school board, right, Chad? I told him that. I'll tell everyone. You want to change the school system? Get on it. You know, listen, we have the best secret in Arkansas. We have one of the most beautiful places to live. We have, I mean, just look at it. You wake up, there's leaves that are beautiful. Well, they're falling off now. It's beautiful. We don't have to worry about all the bad stuff we see around the world. But we've still got problems. But here's the difference. We can get involved in, listen, you can get involved in any part of our community just about that you want to, if you will. And as a believer, and you're wise, you can have a positive impact on our community, which I can't understand why everybody doesn't want to live here. But it's because wise people are getting involved. They obey the rules. And if they don't like the rules, they change the rules or the situation. There is a right way to do that. The way you change things is not by burning stuff down. The way you change things is you get involved in government, you get involved and you change things. That's what he talks about in verses 5 and 6. Wise people don't respond impulsively to authority. A wise person's just not going to get mad and quit his job. A wise person's just going to say, I've had it, I'm done. A wise person, look what he says in verse 5 and 6. Those who obey him will not be punished. Those who are wise will find a time and a way to do what is right, for there is a time and a way for everything, even when a person is in trouble. The best way to change a bad situation is to get involved and make it a good situation. It's just, we need wise people to be involved in the world we live in. Life is hard. But there's a way and a time to change. Find out what it is and then institute change. Wise people are changers for the better. Angry people, unwise people, it stays the same or gets worse. Wise people make a difference. You may be in a job situation. I had a guy came to me and he was in... We were in St. Louis, and he was getting serious about his family and his job, and he realized that working retail, while it provided very well for his family, the problem was he was never at home. And he was griping at me about it, and I said, well, change jobs. But I said, don't just go out there and quit your job. So here's what he did. He went in. Well, before he went in, he decided he found a guy that would hire him to help paint. He had I forgot how many hours of his college degree done, but he found a guy that would let him work for him and paint. And he went in and gave his 2 weeks notice. He painted and went back to school, got a degree in technology, and he's been the head of technology in the Maplewood Richmond Heights School District in St. Louis, Missouri ever since. Now, he could have done it this way. He could have said, y'all are making me work on Christmas Eve. I'm going to just quit. Or he can say, I'm going to go back, get my degree, and do what God wants me to do. And he felt like that's what he was supposed to do. There's a way. There's a right way. It's what my dad is timing. There's a right way and a wrong way to do things. And it's very important that we understand being impulsive doesn't always make things right. But there is a right way to do things. There's a right way to institute change, and you need to be involved in finding that way. Here's the fifth thing. Wise people know their limitations. You know, when you're wise, you also are humble because you know you're going to do one thing, just like everybody else. You're going to die. It's a humbling fact to realize that everybody in this room, not one single one of us, cheat death. Right? It's a humbling thing if you think about it. And what he says there in verse 8, he says, none of us can hold back our spirit from departing. Nobody in this room cannot die. He says, none of us has the power to prevent the day of our death. There is no escaping that obligation, that dark battle. And in the face of death, wickedness will certainly not rescue the wicked. What is he saying? He's basically saying, know your limitations. You're not God. You're going to die. Understand, you're no different than anybody else in this room. You're going to die. We're all going to have funerals, maybe. And it's just be humbled by that. Wise people are humble. Wise people understand what's going on in the world. Unwise people, they don't get it. They don't get it. They think they are God. They think they have all power, but they're not. So understand you have limitations. And here's the last thing. I want to say this. When is it okay to disobey the government? Okay? Several things. First of all, not your understanding of things, but Scripture. When is it okay to disobey? It's okay to disobey when government tries to get you to go against what Scripture teaches. Okay? It's not because you don't like what they're fixing to mandate on you. It's because you are scripturally bound to really do what is right. Remember Daniel chapter 1, verse 8? Daniel was commanded. He was one of the groups that were brought from exile, and he was supposed to eat the king's food, but the king's food had been offered up to a pagan idol. The king's food was not kosher. And did you notice the way he dealt with it? He went to the officer, and he didn't go in there and go, "Hey, I love Jesus, and I'm not going to eat your food." Remember what he went in there and he said, "Hey, I've got a plan. Give us so many days, I'm going to eat vegetables and drink water, and at the end of this time, if we don't look better, I'll get on the diet of the king." And after the time passed, they looked good. So what was he not going to do? He wasn't going to disobey his moral principles to eat the king's food. Scripture. Another example of Daniel's in Daniel chapter 3, when they were told to bow down, when the trumpets were blown and worship, and Daniel didn't bow down. And guess what? They put him in there with, remember the story of the fiery furnace? Violating Scripture. I'm not going to worship a false god. I'm not going to eat food that's been offered to idols. Scripture drove their decisions. Remember they were told not to pray? Daniel chapter 6. What did he do? He got caught praying. Got the death penalty for that. They told him not to pray, but he prayed anyway. Scripture. Scripture has... Remember in Acts chapter 4, verse 17, they were told not to share the gospel? But what did they do? They shared the gospel. They did not disobey Scripture. Hebrews 10:24 talks about meeting together. You know, that's, you say, well, Bill, we paused a couple weeks and didn't meet because of the pandemic, and it's been, you know, it's very difficult. You ought to be a leader in this time. If we decide to do this, this group's mad. If you decide to do that, y'all been real good. I don't know. And I really can't care because it's important that we do what God wants us to do. But if you look at Hebrews 10:24, and let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking the assembling of the saints. One of the things that was happening when that passage was written is the Christians were being persecuted because at that time they were going to meet at the temple, and they quit meeting because they started persecuting them. And so what did Paul write in Hebrews? He says, hey, don't quit meeting together. Why? When you quit meeting together, that's dangerous. You see, when is it okay to disobey? It's okay to disobey whenever they violate Scripture. Now, the problem is with most Americans, they don't know Scripture. So they don't even know. Let me give you a reverse idea. It's legal to have an abortion. So that means it's okay if you're a Christian? Now, if you've had an abortion, I want you to know that God forgives and God gives His grace, and I would never hold that against you. But here's the point. Just because the government says it's legal doesn't make it right. The scripture is quite clear. If you go to Exodus chapter 1, when they were commanded to kill the boys, remember that story? They were going to kill the boys. And what did they do? They disobeyed and they didn't kill the boys. Why? Because killing is wrong. So when is it okay to disobey? When they violate Scripture. Now, does that give you a right to burn down a building? No. How did Jesus respond to the government when they came after Him? Did He fight? No. What did Peter do? Tried to cut off an ear? What did Jesus do? Put the ear back on. The thing I want us to understand as the church, as believers in Jesus Christ, we are called to be different than the way everybody else responds. We're called to speak differently, to live differently, to glorify Christ. I don't care what anybody else does. We have an obligation to glorify Him. And so if the government's trying to make you do something that is going against Scripture, well, I would say you might have to disobey. But I also would say you may go to jail. And that may be God's plan. Paul went to jail. What happened in the jail? They broke out in revival. He was obedient. We're to be obedient to Jesus Christ, to follow Him, even if it cost us our life. Is it tough? Yeah, we live in difficult times. We live in times where it's actually in style to disobey authority. But it's never right. It's never right. Wrong is always wrong for the believer in Jesus Christ. So, respect authority. 1 Peter 2:18, and I'm done. Just a scripture that I saw this morning, 1 Peter 2:18 kind of sums it up, kind of what we ought to be about and how we influence other people. 1 Peter 2:18 says this. If I can get there. Yeah. It says, 2:17, excuse me. Respect everyone. Love the family of believers. Fear God. Respect the king. Remember, that was written during the time of Nero, if I'm not mistaken. Tough time. Let's pray. Father, I pray that the church would be what You want us to be, not what the world wants us to be. I pray, Lord, that we would honor the King, that we would be good citizens. If we don't like things, help us to get involved and make a difference. But help us to do it in a Christ-like way. Help us to understand it's never right to be destructive. It's never right to break Scripture because we feel violated. Help us to remember the example of Jesus Christ and how He responded, even though He was innocent. Father, I pray for our country. I pray for the teenagers in this room that they would be all about respect. I pray for the kids in this church. We teach them to respect. Father, I pray for the adults that we would respect authority and live under, ultimately, Your authority. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.